today, from Argentina, but based in New York City, gonna take us on a journey from jazz to tango to Afro-Peruvian music, maybe a little cumbia. Sophia Rey, thank you so much for joining us on The Checkout.
Thank you.
Well, that was exhilarating. Sophia Ray, please introduce your band.
So, here we are with these incredible musicians that have been part of my musical family for quite a while. On the trumpet, we met in Boston quite a long time ago, 15 years ago. From Seattle, Mr. Josh Deutsch. And on the semi-acoustic guitar, from upstate New York, El Señor Eric Korimsky. From Guadeloupe, the island of Guadeloupe in the Caribbean, on the electric guitar, JC Meyer. On the bass, from Lima, Peru, Jorge Ruede. And on the drums and percussion, from my fellow Argentine in the band, from Tucumán, El Señor Franco Pina.
And on loop pedals or gizmos, I don't even know what that is, but a looping device and the charango
of sorts,
vocalist Sophia Ray from Buenos Aires. What did we just hear?
We just heard a song called Carnaval. This is actually a song I heard only in one recording, and I liked very much. I heard it a cappella. I heard it by Suna Rocha, fantastic, phenomenal folklore singer from back home. This one is from the northwest of Argentina, or at least it uses a rhythm called huayno that's an Andean rhythm shared in, let's say, the north of Chile, north of Argentina, Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia. And it usually also uses charango, which is this guitar that I'm using, that I'm playing. So it would be commonly found, I guess.
Is this rhythm widely known and as African?
It's not African.
It's from the Americas.
Right.
It's the Native Americans.
Something from the Native Americans.
Because it sounds very samba-esque.
Yeah, well, you know, it has, you know, all this music has been also, you know, mingling and sharing so much information that I'm sure also in the way Franco plays it, there are a lot of other things that are influencing it. But traditionally, it's a rhythm that's, you know, has its roots in the Native Americans of all this region that we were talking about. So,
including your five-string
guitar. So that five-string, it said, and I don't know if this is true, but the legend says that when the Native Americans heard for the first time the guitar that the Spanish people brought, they fell in love with the sound of it, but they were not allowed to play it. So they developed their own kind among them, this little instrument that they could hide under their clothes, under their ponchos. So that's why it's so tiny. And it has 10 strings, and the lowest one is in the middle, which is very weird for string instruments, I guess. So that's one particular thing about it.
Well, we're all getting a cultural lesson here. Thank you for sharing all of this information.
Sure.
Is that sort of your calling as an artist, though, connecting all of these dots?
Possibly. I got very, very interested, particularly in South American traditional music. I don't consider myself a folklorist whatsoever. I started in music as a classical singer, actually, or whatever you want to call that. But I, you know, studied opera, and so my mom was a huge fan of folkloric music and tango music, my father as well. So I would hear this in my house, but I would run away from it. You know, I was like, oh, this is not what I want to do. Then I went into whatever, or all sorts of things, punk rock, you know.
And then you discovered American jazz.
And when I went back to it, heard for the very first time a jazz record when I was 19. So that was late.
I wanted to identify this one recording that you heard that sort of influences all of this that you're doing, that I also discovered and happens to be one of my favorite jazz recordings of all time, too, made in 1990, Play with Bobby McFerrin and Chick Corea,
yes,
which is a recording that I played on repeat so much that I memorized every solo.
Well, that's exactly the reaction I had. And I'm not sure that I liked it, actually. I was overwhelmed that somebody could do that with his voice, and that was supposed to be made on the spot. I was like, whoa, how did that happen? So it made me curious, at least that. It made me very curious, and that's how I discovered vocal jazz and then instrumental jazz and then all sorts of other things. But yeah, that was a very important album, definitely. Yeah.
Well, and I think you're sort of channeling that with your looping device into a certain degree. And let's continue to hear that. Sophia Ray joins us in studio on the checkout. Kai katarata kutunki kai katarata kutara yoru korvari korolo tungala tundarandara tunki kai katarata kutunki kai katarata kutara yoru korvari korolo tungala tundarandara tunki kai katarata kutunki kai katarata kutara yoru korvari korolo tungala tundarandara tunki kai katarata kutunki kai katarata kutara yoru korvari korolo tungala tundarandara
te veo la facha la ruga el lunar el pelo la imperfección el descontento la quinta pata la gente tu difícil lo imposible lo inasible lo de
nante katarata yoru korvari korolo
lo inaccesible tu tritono y tu diablo
una por cada rendición del espíritu
denso, lo amargo, lo lento, lo tuerca, lo amargo, lo bizarro, lo asfixiante, lo mezquino, lo engreído, lo obstinado, lo arrogante, lo disonante, tu ausencia de humor me exaspera, caíste preso de las garras del aburrimiento, tu ausencia de humor me espera, caíste preso de las garras del aburrimiento. Tu tritono y tu diablo me hablan por cada rendija del espíritu. Tu tritono y tu diablo me hablan por cada rendija del espíritu. Del espíritu.
Sophia Rey joins us in studio, and we're all dancing around, including our very own music director, Gary Walker.
Yay!
That was the new tune, right?
That's one of them, yes. It's part of a new project that is called Umbral. The concept behind it is... I started having a lot of fun with this particular pedal. It's a looper pedal, so I'm recording a lot of layers of my vocals. And most of the...
So it is a pedal, even though it's on a desk.
I know. The whole thing with the feet thing, it's not something I'm so comfortable with. And I change knobs and things for which I need to use my hands. So for me, this is perfection with the table, you see. But...
This is called La Quinta Pata.
La Quinta Pata.
La Quinta Pata, which is a regularly known and used expression throughout South America. And an expression that I think we all need to have as part of our discourse with all of our leaders around the world, perhaps.
Yes.
Could you please translate what that means and where this comes from?
La Quinta Pata, translation of it is the fifth leg, La Quinta Pata.
The fifth leg of a cat here, here's one definition. This is a very common expression that criticizes someone who claim or try to find non-existent, alleged, wicked, hidden, or deep motivations behind someone else's comments or actions.
Boy. All right, now that you brought a whole new meaning to it for me.
Well, I'm sure you know the fifth leg of all of your individual band members.
They have none. They're amazing. They just have no flaw. I try to look for it.
And what was the fifth leg of the cat hopping to? Is that the right verb? What rhythm were we listening to?
Well, that maybe Franco can answer because we are kind of going. I don't think there is a specific rhythm for it. Actually, they make fun of me because I tend to write things that are never in 4/4. And this is a song in 4/4, so they should be happy for it. And, you know, for once I make something, you know, sort of simpler or...
Well, it might have been from Guadalupe or some calypso thing.
What do you think? What does the Guadalupian say? Ah, there you go. Now you know it.
And we have Sophia Rey and her band in studio, and she has a couple of records out as well as touring all throughout New York and the world. And definitely go see her soon. And she's in studio bringing us this marvelous music. What's this next tune that we're about to hear?
The next song we're going to do involves Mr. Jorge Rueder on the bass.
Who also serves as your producer and curator to a certain degree.
He's my absolute right hand in so many, so many projects we've been doing together. We met in 2002 in Boston. We went to the New England Conservatory. That's where we met. And there were very few people from Latin America. And I just ran into him in a hallway. He was like, hey, what's up? I speak Spanish. And, you know, somebody told me about you. And I'm like, yeah, let's get together. Let's play. And then I had to fire my bass player at the time because he kind of, you know, was exactly the right person for performing, playing this music that I was attempting to do. So we have a duo that we are intending to record at some point in 2017. So this project is called Hidden Tales, Coplas Escondidas. And the idea behind it is, you know, it's a collection of songs that are not so well known of the whole American continent. So from
And this is a perfect segue, right?
Exactly.
Because we're going back to Peru, to Lima, Peru, to be exact, in the mid-1950s, I understand, channeling the revivalist movement that is known as Afro-Peruvian music. This is from Nicomedes Santa Cruz.
Al dulce bordonear de las vihuelas, hoy día se estremece como antaño. El viejo callejón de un solo caño, con el repiquetear de castañuelas y siguen las guitarras con sus trinos. para todos los vecinos. Y siguen las guitarras con sus trinos, quitando el sueño a todos los vecinos. Alegre tacoñar hace crujir el puerto 16 a la voz varonil de un buen cantor que con sabor y pleno carariar pide un cajón antes de amanecer. Y empieza la sabrosa marinera. Alegre tacoñar hace crujir puerto 16 a la voz varonil de un buen cantor que con sabor en pleno jaranear pide un cajón antes de amanecer y empieza la sabrosa marinera. Te aro baba pero tu que toro te quiero te quiero tom 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 pero te quiero tu payara tu payara te quiero tom tu 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 pay al dulce hoy día se estremece como antaño el viejo callejón de un solo caño con el repiquetear de castañuelas y siguen las guitarras con sus trinos quitando el sueño a todos los vecinos y siguen las guitarras con sus trinos quitando el sueño a todos los vecinos. Alegre tacoñar hace crujir el cuarto 16 a la voz varonil de un buen cantor que con sabor y pleno carariar pide un cajón antes de amanecer y empieza la sabrosa marinera. Alegre tacoñar hace crujir el cuarto 16 a la voz varonil de un buen cantor que con sabor en pleno carañar pide un cajón antes de amanecer y empieza la sabrosa marinera.
That was awesome. Sophia Ray joins us in studio, and on bass, Jorge Roeder from Lima, Peru, playing the upright bass, acoustic bass, playing the music of Nicomedes Santa Cruz, also from Lima, Peru, and one of the founders of the so-called revivalist music of Afro-Peruvian music.
That's right.
And so I guess the big question, and a lot of people don't know this history, mm-hmm. but it's a very, like, disputed history that scholars like to argue about. So I just want to ask you, what you just sang, is it authentic Black Peruvian music from the Pacific Coast?
Well,
is it real?
I think it's real. I think that it was a music that was tending to disappear, be forgotten, because there was a moment where, you know, it wasn't played that much. And I think, in a way, this revival movement had to rescue it and a little bit, yeah, made up some parts of it to kind of understand the history of it. They actually recovered a lot of this by not only hearing what was left of it, but also even from non-musically related things like pictures or, you know, drawings of how the dance was, you know, being performed or things like that. So, of course, a lot of it was made up. And I think certain schools of the Afro-Peruvian traditions, new schools like Peru Negro, you know, they had a lot to do with, in a way, naming things or calling, okay, well, this is this type of festejo. This is called, it's going to be called the Inga, or this is going to be called the Festejo Uno, or this is going to be called, you know, and even a lot of songs that were very essential became styles on their own. So there is a lot of dispute, for instance, over another style that we like to play a lot called Landó. And then, you know, people don't know exactly how, when it started, or if it was something that started in the 50s rather than 300 years ago. So,
yeah, what is Criollo culture? And some critics say, you know, why would you even want to study that music? That was all made up in the 1960s. None of it is authentic. And so that is a debate.
Yeah.
That's going on. But
it's
probably
debate.
What do you think
what
from
does
Lima
Jorge
Peru? What do you think, Jorge Roeder?
I tend to think that it's more about whether it's good music or not, you know. whether it's authentic Pacific Coast Black music, it definitely has a big part. That music has a big part in this song, you know. It has a big influence in the melting pot that was Lima at the time. So
I understand at certain parts of history, half of the population of Lima was Afro-Peruvian too, which is a much different look than it is today.
Well, that comes as news to me, to be honest. I did not know that.
But that's something that happens in Argentina, for instance. Quite a big percentage of the population of Buenos Aires was of African descent in the times of the colony. It's not so long ago. Yet, the traces of that music, you have to really go look for it. And, we unfortunately had a lot of ethnomusicologists that denied any kind of African influence in the folkloric music of Argentina, for instance, which is absolutely crazy. And a lot of this music from Peru came to Argentina by way of, Santiago del Estero and certain places that were centers of distribution of slaves. So it makes sense why so much of this music has that influence. And, actually, it's so interesting to find it for us that, we get together, we play, and maybe Jorge and I are playing a chacarera, and we're like, he would be like, that sounds like, maybe sounds like a zamacueca, or if I get together with a Chilean guy, I would be like, that sounds like a cueca, and it all comes some way from someplace, and it got changed, or it got added certain particular local things, whatever it landed, and it's so beautiful and interesting.
At the risk of oversimplifying it, I would say that if there's a common denominator to a lot of shared folkloric musics in Latin America, one would say that the common denominator is the African element.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's why we're a jazz station. And that's why we
exist here. In a nutshell.
Because I personally view all of these histories as parallel, whether we're talking about samba or tango or cumbia or Afro-Peruvian criollo music, right?
Yeah.
It's all sort of the same. It's like modern African music of the modern sounds of the African diaspora.
Yeah.
At least in the 20th century we're talking about.
No, definitely. Definitely that's a huge
part. Why don't we go to something on your recording just to showcase your pan-Americanist sensibility.
Thank you.
Classical music performed by Sophia Ray and her band in our studio on the checkout El Sauce, which is also, did I say that right?
El Sauce. We always joke about it because the sauce, you know, El Sauce, it sounds a little bit like that. But no, it has, it's, you know that it's the willow, but it's El Sauce. You got it.
El Sauce.
Muy bien, Simon.
And the band, we heard a lovely solo by Josh Deutsch from Seattle on trumpet. Also give a shout out to everyone else in the band, Franco Pina on percussion, drums from Argentina, Jorge Roder on bass, Lima, Peru, Eric Karimsky, guitar, upstate New York, JC Mallard from Guadeloupe, and Sophia Ray from Buenos Aires, now living in New York City. So I understand one of your influences in life, Sophia Ray, is who you've called the mad genius of jazz, who doesn't really like to do interviews like this so often. Of course, a special shout out to John Zorn, the amazing composer and multi-instrumentalist who also has curates his own club, The Stone, in Lower East Side of Manhattan, where you have performed a residency, a month-long residency, where you have collaborated with some of the finest musicians in New York. We're going to hear some music that you have collaborated with John Zorn on. What is this that I'm holding exactly?
You are holding a beautiful collection, a vinyl collection of what's called the Song Project. This was a project put together by John Zorn about 3 years ago. His idea was to give to some vocalists that he's been collaborating over the years some of his music, so that they would write lyrics for songs and music, film work and things from Naked City and all sorts of some of the Masada collection too. The band is actually the Dreamers, so it's John Medeski and Mark Rivott and Trevor Dunn and...
John Medeski from Medeski, Martin and Wood.
Indeed. And Joey Barron and Ciro Baptista, who
Joey
I know
Barron,
you
drummer.
Had recently here.
Ciro Baptista, the mad Brazilian percussionist.
Mark Rivott, I said that, yes. And...
guitarist Mark Ribot.
Kenny Wallace and on vibes.
On vibes, not drums.
I thought that we might want to listen to a song called Sombra en el Espejo. It was retitled. The original instrumental was Besos de Sangre. And it was actually a film, a song written for a film, for a film.
Shadow in the Mirror.
You got it. Otra vez nos quedamos la canción y yo en la caja de un alma que se ahoga en notas tristes.
Who's the shadow in the mirror?
Or
is that just some film noir?
So this is the story of a love song that ended. So it's kind of like how you have all these memories in, you know, different parts of your house, and you are, you know, remembering this person and realizing that finito, it's over.
Kaput,
it's over. And, you know, finding all these reminiscences of
heartbreak, this always a great inspiration for
stories.
Songwriting, right?
Unfortunately, yes. But yeah.
Take us to a Colombian recording on one of your records.
So we're going to listen to a song called La Gallera that was influenced in a trip I did to Colombia.
Cockfighting.
Yes. And actually, I was so against it when I got there. And then, you know, little by little, I got absorbed by the situation, and I realized that this was a very important thing for the people who are living in this island. That was their church, their moment to get together and kind of hope for a better future better situation, maybe they would make some, you know, little money out of it and, you know, have a little bit of a good time in a very rough situation in very close to Cartagena in the coast of Colombia. So this is La Gallera, a song I wrote that we arranged for my last record called De Tierra y Oro, that uses a rhythm called tambora, but modified instead of in 4, in 3, and then in 7, and then all sorts of things that happen. I hope you like it.
And we all do respect animals. I didn't want to say that jokingly.
Yes, indeed.
We are against animal cruelty of all shapes and forms.
Absolutely.
Here on the checkout, but also have to respect these traditions, mm-hmm. even though they are sometimes gruesome and unbearable, probably, to watch.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you so much for bringing your band in and spending some time with us.
Thank you, Simon. We're super grateful. I love this show, so I'm happy to be here. And thanks for listening.
Soy la del gallo que gana, mi suerte nació en Boca Chica y se perdió en la mirada de un capitán y un timón. Cartagena está en su sangre, en su color y su voz. No va por su suerte, espera por su gallo vencedor. ¿Dónde? Que no.